Church, would you pray with me? Father God, we come this morning eager to hear from you. We come eager to understand more of your truth and your scriptures. We ask that this morning that you would help us to develop a stronger sense of trust in you. We have just declared great truths about you, and I do hope that we believe those things. I do long that even though we are not together and we're in our separate places, that these truths are still sustaining us. These truths are the things that we're still hanging all of our hope upon. Because when we survey the landscape around us, there's so much uncertainty. There's so many views. There's so many difficulties that, Lord, at the end of the day, the things that we just declared collectively together this morning is where we, your church, find our greatest hope. So I pray that these words were not just something that we just saying out loud for no reason, but yet something that we are depending on, that we are trusting in. We certainly believe that you are Lord. We certainly believe that you are in control, that you know what is best for us, even in difficulty. You know how to move and navigate that to grow us, mature us, and bring us and call us to greater depths of faith. So this morning, we ask you would do that. Take your scriptures, make us well, strengthen us, encourage us, heal our bones. Might it be refreshing as we think on you together this morning. Father, we are thankful for many churches across the valley that are coming underneath your scripture, Lord. Whether they're sitting in homes or gathering today, we ask that your word would be proclaimed, that your truth would go out to the valley and begin to change hearts. So, Father, would you be with our brothers and sisters this morning as they listen to your preached word? Father, we now ask that you would come and speak to us. Help us this morning to love your wisdom more than our own. Father, we admit that is a great difficulty on our part. It is hard for us to not lean on our own understanding, Father, and neglect your wisdom. So, Father, we pray this morning you would move us towards a greater trust in you more than ourselves. Help the truths that we uncover this morning to be glorious. Help them to overshadow our opinions. Help the truths of your scripture to overwhelm us, though our circumstances might be crazy this morning. Might your truth have its way in our life this morning. So, Father, it is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we have already said multiple times, it is so good to be in this moment with you. I cannot wait for just a couple of weeks away. We're not that far at all, that we can see each other face to face. That will be energizing and encouraging to us, and is certainly a moment that we can rejoice as God's people. But this morning, we're going to continue in our series in Proverbs. We'll primarily look at Proverbs chapter 3, just verses 1 through 12 this morning. But I will encourage you as you turn there, because hopefully you have your Bibles this morning, that this text this morning demands our attention. Now, you may be saying, of course it does, because one, it's God's word. So therefore, the moment we open God's word, we unpack it, we pick through it, well, obviously, even in those moments, it demands our attention. But particularly this morning, I want to encourage you to be attentive, because there are so many points of application that we're going to see this morning through these 12 verses, that there is something for everyone this morning. So I'm going to ask that you pay attention, that you eliminate as many of the distractions as you can, though I know it's difficult as we sit in our homes this morning. But there is so much that is uncovered in the text today that I trust that there is a word for us all. So be attentive to the work of the Spirit through the preaching of God's word this morning. But would you follow along with me as we read our text, Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. This morning, the structure of our section is rather brilliant and somewhat easy to follow. But if you didn't pick up on it, there are two-line statements, quite a few of them, about wisdom. They're constructed first with some instructions, and then the result is giving. There are six different kind of nuggets of wisdom, if you will, that the Father gives his Son. Now, many of these particular points, these issues, these topics that are covered in these 12 verses, many of them are going to be revisited throughout the book. They're going to be explored further and unpacked. But here, the Father seems compelled to make clear and concise points. Now, clear and concise are characteristics that anyone loves, especially in a preacher, I understand. But this morning, we want to take each one of them in turn, knowing that there are multiple points of application with each one. So I have been praying that as we deal with each of these, that the Spirit would convict where most needed. The Spirit is far more capable and far more equipped to take the preaching of God's word and pierce our hearts where needed. So I have been praying that though these are very different points, that the Lord, through the work of the Spirit, would do his work. You know, and in a sermon like this that covers multiple topics or issues or different points of thinking, it can feel a bit bumpy. So we need the Spirit to help us camp out on the issues that we personally might need to sit in for a few moments. So I've been praying and I trust the Lord would do that. But don't worry, we will tie it all together at the end. But first up, verses 1 and 2. Two verses giving instruction and then giving us results. Here's what it says. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Well, this is not surprising to us. I mean, just in our short amount of time in the book of Proverbs, we know that this has been an ongoing appeal of the Father. Don't forget and keep what you know. I mean, that's kind of the main point here. It's not that the Son, or we for that matter, we don't know or we don't have the means to know, it's oftentimes that we forget. We don't keep God's commandments, God's teachings, God's instructions close to us. You see, the heart is the place used to communicate where we put things that we treasure most, where we put our trust in most. And here's the problem often when it comes to wisdom, we often lean towards what I would call lesser authorities to gain wisdom. Really, the general progression should be this. Sort through the relevant teachings you know from Scripture. I'm sure you know some, at least a few. Sort through them. Then look for more relevant Scriptures that maybe you don't know and pray for understanding. Then perhaps you could consult others that are trustworthy. You've seen their life. You enjoy the way that they live. You're encouraged by the way they live. So you consult other trustworthy people. Then you Pray for understanding again. And then perhaps then you consult those who have experience with the issue perhaps you are going through. And then you guessed it, pray for understanding. And then maybe we are ready to take action. Now, as we deal with a text like this, there are potential problems of misunderstanding all throughout. And we see it here in the very first two verses. Because here's what I mean. It would be easy to hear these words as a promise that if we do all that the Lord teaches, we keep his commandments, that we will live long lives with no trouble. I mean, that seems to be the promise for length of days, years of life, and peace. They will add to you. Well, this is where genre helps us. Now, before you tune me out, genre is simply the style of writing that different types of literature fall into. For instance, poetry, history, news article, they're all read very differently because they are different styles, they're different forms, and they have certain rules and conventions that they work within to communicate. Well, the Bible is no different. The Bible actually is a library of books covering an incredible broad range of literature. So to help our understanding, each type of writing contained in the Bible must be read according to the conventions of that particular style of writing. So Proverbs, as we stated at the beginning of our time together, are statements about life that are generally true. We must consider when reading a proverb the when and the how each one is true, and not assume the statement to be a black and white absolute. Put probably a little bit more simply, as proverbs teach probable truth, not absolutes. By nature, the way they're designed, the rules and conventions they work within, by their nature, they're not absolute promises from God that guarantee the promised outcome if one follows them. Rather, they are designed to point out patterns of conduct that, if followed, give one the best chance of success, all things being equal. In other words, they are general principles for successful living rather than a comprehensive, as one scholar said, legal code for life. Their primary goal, as we have been saying over and over again, is to state an important, simple truth about life in an easy to remember term. They don't really intend to cover every imaginable circumstance. So we as readers, me as a preacher, must sort through the proverb, begin to understand how do we apply that specific proverb to our contemporary situations. So when the father tells his son that you will have long days and peace, he means that generally speaking, if his son follows God, it will go much, much, much better for him and very smooth. If he chooses not to follow, well, he needs to understand it may not go that smooth. Now, I think this morning we can press this important truth with a really strong conviction, and it's this, that peace will indeed be ours as we follow God. Now, here's what's more helpful as we hear those words, or that word, peace. What is good for us to do is to press where will we actually have peace? And how is that possible? What does it mean to have peace? Well, here's what we know as we look at this text. It does not mean that our circumstances will be perfect. We all understand that that is just not true of life. We might call that outward peace, so to speak. It doesn't take us long in our life to understand that circumstances radically change. It doesn't take us long in adulthood to understand that life is at times difficult and certainly unsettled around us. So we must know that there's got to be more that the Father is communicating, that the Scripture is teaching. I think we can say that inner peace, though everything around us falls away, well, inner peace is ours. But even then, we have to work to gain that peace. It's ours. It is available to us. And the proverb reminds us we do that primarily through following His, God's teachings, keeping His commands. Perhaps as we leave these first two verses, perhaps I could put it this way. Do you trust God knows more than you? Do you trust that His teaching and commands are truthful? If not, your life will be one frustrating moment after another. Well, let's look at the next two, verses 3 and 4, working together to make a point. Here's what it says as a way to remind you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Well, now, this is interesting to me. Not only is wisdom associated with insight, associated with knowledge, but it is deeply linked with action. Actions that are characterized by love and faithfulness. We can't separate our understanding, our knowledge, away from the way that we live. Those things move into action and it becomes wisdom. But those things should be characterized by love and faithfulness. Wisdom is visible in our love and our faithfulness to God. You see, wisdom drips from the mouths of people who love God above all, and they extend that love to others, all the while remaining faithful to God. Oh, this is extremely helpful in tough decisions, much like when should we gather again? Because we have to balance. Wisdom tells us to balance love and faithfulness. Matter of fact, we are to bind them around our neck, ever present, ever visible in our lives. We write them on our hearts. And when we do that, when we put love and faithfulness around our neck, when it's a natural part of who we are, the result is others will certainly appreciate the decisions you have made. Others will be much more willing to listen and follow as we put on love and faithfulness. You see, that's what's meant by good success in the sight of God and man. Put on love and faithfulness. The Father tells the Son, don't let go of those things, because when life is tough and you've got to make decisions, let that be your posture. So perhaps this morning I could put it this way. Do you trust the Lord enough to love radically in spite of differences, all the while remaining faithful to Him? If not, you will make many, many enemies instead of disciples. Well, let's look at the next two, perhaps the most famous part of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Well, verses 5 through 6 are closely related to 7 and 8 that we'll get to in a moment, because each of those are dealing with our trust above our own understanding. And here are probably the most famous verses of Proverbs. I mean, if I took a survey And I asked, what verse or verses come to mind when you think of Proverbs? More than likely, I'm going to get these words. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Well, there's a reason why. Because this verse resonates with us. It makes sense to us. We find ourselves rubbing up against trust and a lack of understanding often. So it's no surprise that this particular verse really resonates in us. But we have to understand it is crucial for wisdom as well. Because if we were to be honest, we don't understand as much as we think we do. So to trust the Lord above our own understanding is wise for us. For instance, if I leaned solely on my understanding, and I hope that I can't see you, but I assume many of you are laughing, because it's true. If I solely leaned on my own understanding, if you solely leaned on your understanding, you would be in a world of hurt. And we intuitively know, because perhaps we've done it at times, that would set us down a path of radical disappointment. Because brothers and sisters and those watching, when I elevate my thinking above God's thinking, it is unlikely I will walk paths of righteousness. It is very unlikely that I'm going to have peace. I, perhaps you, simply cannot make sense of some events in our life. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe they just hurt. That's it. They hurt. They're hard. They make us uncomfortable. And they certainly remind us of our longing to be whole again. But trust in the Lord reminds us that they are not the final word on life. We have God the Father, who through God the Son provides our salvation, our ultimate healing, and provides through God the Spirit comfort. Well, this is glorious when chaos is around us and lack of understanding is around us. And if you think about it, our path is very straight in one sense, isn't it? It's trust the Lord as we move, breathe, and act. It is that we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, meaning God, that He is in the forefront of our minds, guiding all of our decisions and actions. We can't leave the word straight here until we understand that there is a moral component to it as well, telling us that when we trust the Lord and we remain faithful to Him, even when we don't understand, that we take His word and we walk faithfully in His ways. Our paths will be straight. They will be morally right before the Lord. Maybe I could put it this way. Perhaps you're catching a theme this morning. Do you trust the Lord more than your own understanding? If not, your path will be riddled with crookedness. Well, let's move to the next few verses that are very similar to the ones we just read, but yet dive into different nuances. And I love the way that it's worded. Verse 7 through 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. That's a good word. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Be not wise in your own eyes. If there ever was a strong encouragement for us, the body of Christ, in our current circumstance, it is this. In an age of social media, where many are sudden experts on things that they don't really know a lot about, okay to question. It would be helpful to curb that rant with a realization that you are not privy to all the information. So factor that into your response to this pandemic. More importantly, factor in fear the Lord to your thinking, to your reactions. See, this is wisdom at its best. And what we most need in times like this. When thinking of a response, when thinking about a reaction, be not wise in your own eyes, but rather carry fear of the Lord. Carry trust of Him more than our own understanding. Carry righteousness. Carry acknowledgement of the Lord to those reactions and thoughts first. And you know, the result of this section of scripture, it has been a bit overwhelming to me, really, over the last couple of weeks. Did you hear what it said? That the result of be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, turn away from evil, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Doesn't healing and refreshment sound really, really good? Doesn't that sound like something we want, we long for, we desperately need? There's something that occurs when we trust the Lord more than our own understanding. I'm not saying it's easy, but we all can understand because at times in our life, we have sensed and we have felt that when we trust the Lord more than our own understanding, when we don't put our wisdom ahead of His, there's something freeing to us. There's something refreshing that occurs. There is certainly an emotional healing that happens when we surrender to Him. You and I just don't have the eyesight that God has. He knows way more than we do. Oftentimes, I've heard it described this way. If we were to walk up to a beautiful portrait, and all that we see is a little corner. And there's a certain color that's being painted in that corner. The rest isn't done quite yet. There's a certain color being painted in that corner. And we look at it and go, that's just hideous. Ugh. But yeah, the person who is painting has already seen the beauty that is just ahead of this perceived ugly color. Be not wise in your own eyes, but trust the Lord. Or maybe I could put it in a question form like this again this morning. Do you trust the Lord's wisdom more than yours? If you don't, you will have great inner turmoil that will eventually destroy you. Well, let's move on to the next two verses, 9 and 10. A shift of gears a little bit, but yet a common theme I hope you're seeing here. Verses 9 through 10 say, honor the Lord with your wealth. Hold on, you're meddling now. Hey, I'm just reading scripture. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, this is the first of many statements that Proverbs gives about wealth. As a matter of fact, one of the top topics that is dealt with within the book. So in a few weeks, when we shift from these first 9 chapters, we move into looking at big themes in Proverbs, we will actually take up wealth and poverty. We'll take up all of the understanding unpacked in Proverbs to try to understand what does it say fully about the subject so that you and I can make better decisions and we can actually fulfill that call of honoring the Lord. We're going to take that up. We're going to look much more thoroughly into that. But for today, let us understand this. Money is pivotal. It is a crucial issue when it comes to wisdom. Here in this text, remember the father is trying to be clear and concise. Here in a big picture way, or I oftentimes like to say the 30,000 foot view, if you will, here it is. We should take whatever wealth we have. Notice he doesn't give a figure. Whatever wealth that we have, we should take it and we should honor the Lord with it. Now that's chock full a lot of understanding that we'll look at a lot more later. But here, What's fascinating is that we don't have to go very far into the text right after we hear those words to see an example of what it means to honor the Lord. It says the giving of the first fruits. Now, what does that mean? In essence, it means it's a way to say give our best. Perhaps we could also say it is to give all of us. One thing that should characterize the sons and daughters of God is joyful giving of their time and most certainly their treasure, their wealth. As much as we want to overlook it and not think about it, Proverbs, the father is looking at the son saying, "This will be difficult." I don't presume to think this morning that this is an easy issue. And matter of fact, we find ourselves at another potential problem that lies here in this text. Someone could easily read this and walk away and say, "Oh, if I give, I will be rich." Okay, many health and wealth gospel have been preached with misuse of scripture. Well, this is not immune from that. We must again consider what the aim of Proverbs is. General statements about how life works. Listen, as one scholar put it this way, "Your barns will be filled with plenty" is a generalization concerning the effect of honoring the Lord with all that one has and is. It is not, however, more than a generalization. We see Job and his comforters, right? For it's not more than a generalization. For to view this as a mechanical formula dishonors God and his sovereign purposes. So what is it saying? To turn this into a mathematical equation is way short-sighted. Because think about it. One could faithfully honor the Lord with their wealth, and with one tragedy, lose it all. It could happen. So we cannot hear this as a promise, but we can certainly hear this as a general rule. Because if we honor the Lord with our wealth, there are a host of instructions given. So to honor means that I hear the Bible's full-on teaching, and I follow them. If we just took Proverbs that tells us to wisely save, that tells us to be, here's a hard one, self-controlled in our purchases, well then yes, if we honor the Lord and just simply apply those two things, well, we would more than likely, we'll do much better with whatever wealth we have, because notice, it doesn't promise an amount, but it does call us to honor the Lord with all that we have. Well, let me ask you this. Do you trust the Lord more than your wealth, your stuff? If you don't, you will be miserable. Well, let's look at the last two verses. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights." And I don't know about you, when I think of wisdom, perhaps when you think of wisdom, you don't really think about discipline as a means towards arriving at a good skill of life. We don't think of that. But here, the father tells the son to not grow weary or to despise the Lord's discipline. Well, this is interesting. This is fascinating to us because the father is telling the son, and in turn, we are listening and hearing that one of the most loving things the Lord does for us is to discipline us, is to give reproof. I mean, he's a father after all, and this is how a loving father deals with his son. God loves us too much to leave us like we are. The father grounds the discipline of the Lord in love. Isn't it fascinating that one of these, remember, clear and concise statements, on wisdom that the Father is giving to the Son includes the Lord's discipline. This tells us and this reminds us that discipline is one of the things that the Lord uses to bring wisdom. So don't despise it. Don't grow weary of it, because it's needed and it's necessary to develop a good skill at life. It is necessary so that we honor the Lord with all that we are. Now, if you have been a child in your life and you're now a parent, you probably understand this more than ever. You realize, or at least I have come to realize, that love is the motivator to discipline. Now, it does not mean that at times anger is the motivator, but hopefully the overwhelming majority of the discipline that we have actually at its root is a love for our children. I don't know about yours, but oftentimes our kiddos, they'll question our love when we are disciplining them. We will quickly say, you have to understand, it is precisely because of love that I'm doing the harder thing right now. I actually love you too much to leave you like you are. And as I've heard in the past, I want you to have friends later on in life. And if you act like that, well, it's going to be hard to have friends. We acknowledge and understand part of what the Lord does for us is he corrects us. He disciplines us, all the while out of love, using it to grow and mature us. Perhaps a question we could pose here is, do you trust the Lord is a loving Father? And that might need to be thought through a good bit. Do you trust that the Lord is a loving Father? If you don't, you will hate him and you will despise his love toward you. My brothers and sisters, I hope that you have noticed how I've tried to push myself with each line of these clear and concise statements on wisdom. I have done that. I have pushed us with the overarching theme of each one of these particular points. If you haven't caught it, it's trust. So let me, in a succinct way, tie it all together for you. Because the application of trust has been given to so many areas of our lives. Here, in a succinct way, let me tie this all together. In following God, it comes down to this: trust or bust. You can absolutely ignore God, the Lord's wisdom, but you will bust in the end. You can absolutely believe that he is foolish and he doesn't know what he's talking about, but you will bust in the end. You can absolutely roll the dice on your thinking, but you will bust in the end. You simply cannot excuse away so easily God's wisdom. It will come back to get you. And one of the most common ways that most people dismiss God's wisdom is in the cross. We studied 1 Corinthians. We saw it so clearly. Remember verse 8 of chapter 1? Here's what it says. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And you might be thinking, Pastor, why do you keep coming back to Jesus in the book of Proverbs? Because of what 1 Corinthians says, just a few verses after the one I read. Here's what it says in chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Hear the word of the Lord. And because of him, Jesus, you, talking to the believers there in Corinth, you are in Christ Jesus. So because of him, God, you're in Christ Jesus. Well, who is Christ Jesus? Who became to us wisdom from God. Who became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, let no one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Jesus is the culmination of wisdom expressed here in Proverbs. I mean, think about it. It doesn't take long in this book to say, How can I live like this? How can I actually follow God's teaching and keep His commandments truly? How do my ways become straight morally? God answers all those questions in His Son, Jesus, who became wisdom, who became the means by which we are changed so that we can follow the Lord's teaching. This morning, all the truths that we looked at are wrapped up in Jesus. God's teaching and commandments are wrapped up in Jesus. Love and faithfulness is wrapped up in Jesus. Trust and acknowledging Him as who He said He was is wrapped up in Jesus. Wisdom is indeed Jesus. Correction, reproof, discipline is in Jesus. You see, it is through faith and repentance in the person and work of Jesus that all that we mentioned today is joyous, because without Him, they all become miserable and unattainable. In a series on Proverbs, we can't press too much to where we think, I just got to work harder. I just got to work harder. No, what you do is in faith and repentance and trust, you lean on God's greatest wisdom, Jesus. And as He changes us, we find ourselves honoring the Lord with our lives. All of the previous points, they hinge on trusting the Lord above yourself. Trusting the Lord above your things. Trusting the Lord above your mistakes. Letting His wisdom be what guides you and what sustains you. Now, I've had to practice this a lot over the last few days. And I can attest, peace was not around me because the circumstance was crazy, but peace inside was indeed present as I leaned into the person and work of Jesus. In my office hangs a picture. Maybe you've seen this before. It's called New York Lunch, 1932. Maybe you've seen that picture. There's a group of construction workers sitting, it looks like a million feet above the earth, building a building in downtown New York, sitting on this I-beam way above the earth, eating their lunch without a care in the world. Now, if you've seen this picture, it's really staggering. It's rather interesting. It captures us, right? Because when we look at the ease by which these people are sitting on something that is so unsettling, It does something to us, because in one sense, fear grips us as we watch these men eating a meal in peace, not bothered, though the circumstance all around them is so unpeaceful, so unsettling. Now, there's something about that picture that really puts on display, perhaps in a tangible way, of what it looks like when someone trusts God's wisdom above his own. Now, here, I'm not suggesting go be reckless with your life. I'm not suggesting that. What I am drawing our attention to is the peace that comes in trusting God. When all around us looks insane, if we would trust the Lord, acknowledge Him, be not wise in our own eyes, well, peace is ours. When all around us, there's no reason to have peace. Peace is ours when we take an area of our life and we honor the Lord with it, all the while everyone thinks it's foolish. When we honor the Lord, we follow His path, well, indeed, peace is ours. We have peace with God through God the Son, and nothing can take that away. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray, though we have looked at many multiple issues of our life, the common thing that we have seen so clearly is that we would exhibit trust in all areas of life. We would exhibit trust in such a way that there would be such a peace to our actions, such a peace to the way we handle ourselves, that others would notice and wonder, how can we have peace like that? Father, we know that all is only attainable through the person and work of Jesus. He indeed is our wisdom. Our paths are only made straight and right in as much we depend and trust and we come in faith and repentance to Jesus. We thank you for the advice that you have given us this morning in your word. I pray that at various points, those listening have, Lord, that the Spirit has taken various points and pierced their hearts in such a way that they find themselves even now just thinking on your wisdom. And Father, as their heart becomes revealed, that they might find themselves leaning into the person and work of Jesus so that they can do the things you call us to. Father, we know that wisdom is inherently a heart issue. So work on us, Father. Thank you for the insights you've given us and help us to use those this week. So Father, it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Like I said earlier, if you're visiting us on this Facebook page, certainly fill out that connection card. We love an opportunity to pray for you, to serve you in any way. Church family, you as well. If anything is going on or anything we could help you with, certainly do let us know. Reach out to us. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Grace and peace.